Thank you, Jenna. Choir and musicians, thank you. Well, welcome. Thank all of you for coming out today and braving this chilly Alaskan January morning. Love it, Alaskans. I think it was 4 degrees when I left the house this morning, and nobody cares. It's Alaska, and everybody just shows up. That's great. The title of my talk today is Affirmative Prayer, and it is the fourth in a series that I am calling Back to Basics. And just to give you an overview of what I've talked about before, in the first week, we talked about God is all there is. And these talks are based on the former foundations class. They had a thing called the 10 core concepts. And so I've built these talks around the 10 core concepts. And the first one is God is all there is. And that's an important concept. It has a great distinction in it. Think, if God is all there is, everything that is God, that means that there is no devil. There is nothing in opposition to God. There is nothing fighting God. We talked about that quote that was attributed to Einstein when we found out that it probably wasn't. But the principle was the same. There is no devil. There's just the awareness or the absence of association with God. There is no cold, there is only the absence of heat. Then in the second week, we looked at the triune nature of God, the idea of spirit, soul, and body. That is, those things which are invisible, the ideas, thoughts, beliefs, attitudes that we have. And then the soul being the creative medium, this thing that responds to us in kind. And I've got a story of that in a moment. And thirdly, body or the form, the physical form. We talked about how this on the macrocosm is God. It is God's thoughts. And that creative medium is the same thing that responds to us as well as responds to the divine, which is God. And then in the macrocosm, that is the manifest universe. On the microcosm, that is our thoughts and our feelings that go into that creative medium and produce our lives as we see them. Then in the third week, last week, we talked about the divine creative process and how those three facets of the divine go into forming our lives as we think about how things are created in the world, how our attitudes and our thoughts create our lives. And we have a perfect example of that this morning in our peace pledge, which got a little off, and that was because that is exactly what I had put forth into the universe. Last night when Mrs. Fleming was doing the slides, she said, "You want this whole thing in there?" Should have been a clue. I assumed that she knew that I just wanted the bullets, and then we would have 9 little short phrases. But instead, and she said, "Are you sure?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, put it on." So she did. I put into the universe, Mrs. Fleming, that we were going to have that whole thing. And she said, "And you're going to do that every week for 9 weeks? "Oh, yeah, yeah, it'll be good." Whoa. The creative medium will produce back to us exactly what we ask. We really threw Kaleem a curve. So today I'm going to talk about affirmative prayer. And I'm going to combine the next two core concepts. The core concept number 5 is wholeness, and core concept number 4 is affirmative prayer. I'm going to transpose those, and you'll see why. First, I'm going to talk about wholeness, and then I'm going to talk about affirmative prayer. Thomas Merton, who is a Catholic mystic of the 20th century, once stated, "There is in all visible things a hidden wholeness." And I submit that there is nothing lacking anywhere in spirit. Spirit is whole and complete. And the truth about each individual, each and every one of us, is that spirit lives through every life, and the entirety of spirit is contained in each life. We've used the analogy of the drop in the ocean, that we are like drops in the ocean. We are part of that large ocean, and all of the properties of the ocean are within each and every drop. We have the same saline content. We are part of the ocean, and it is part of us. In truth, there is no lack or separation, only wholeness. If we experience lack or limitation, it is a variance from our true state. Ernest Holmes stated, "The perception of wholeness is the consciousness of healing." But if we live in this perfect, whole universe, where we are one with God and God is with us, why do we have the things that we experience in this world? Why do we have war? Why do we have famine? Why do we have starvation, sex trafficking? All of these things that we judge as bad, and which are, and I'm not going to defend any of that. It was a Presbyterian minister by the name of Daniel Hans. And in 1986, his 3-year-old daughter died of cancer. He and his wife went through 9 months with their little, started 2-year-old, then became 3-year-old daughter. They went through 9 trips to the hospital, 4 operations, and watched her slowly pass away. And after she died, he wrote a book and he compiled the sermons that he gave at his Presbyterian church while all of this was going on. And I don't have an exact quote here, I'm paraphrasing, but he suggests that disappointments such as these are the stuff of life. God's action in our world is not always to perform the miraculous, but more often than not, to walk through our suffering with us. Our wholeness remains. We don't always see it, but we are always perfect and whole and complete just as we are. Now, my second point today is on affirmative prayer. And in our movement, we teach a 5-step approach. I think that's good. I think many of you have been to my treatment workshops. Most of you have had foundations, and in which we talk about affirmative prayer and we talk about these 5 steps. To me, they are kind of like training wheels. It's a good thing to know, and it's great to always fall back on. For when you fall back and you can't know that truth, it gives us a structure to fall back on. And it's really pretty simple. First of all, we have to come up with a purpose. Why are we going to pray? And we define our purpose of why we're praying. And then we have what we call the first step, which is recognition. And we recognize the divine. We recognize that God is all there is. The second step is unification. And in that, we know that we are one with God. We are unified with God, recognizing that that drop in the ocean, we are the drop in the ocean. And then the third step is realization. And in that step of realization, we absorb all of those properties of the ocean. In that step of realization, it's where we give the description of what our desire is. We set that seed into the universe. In terms of that divine creative process, that's where we place the seed into the soil. And the fourth step is thanksgiving. And then what a beautiful thing it is to give thanks for our desires before they even are manifest. Jesus did that. It's exactly what he did when he raised Lazarus. The first thing that he did is he gave thanks before the stone was ever rolled over. And he did that over and over and over. So a grateful heart is important. And then we just release it. The fifth step is release. We release this to the working of law, that law that must respond. And it's great. Like I say, the five steps are a good thing, and I think they're a great training wheel, if you will. C.S. Lewis, a famous author, wrote the Narnia Chronicles, prolific. He did a lot of different things. And C.S. Lewis had a relationship wonderful lady, her name was Joy. They didn't get married until after she had been diagnosed with cancer. And they too went through a very, very difficult period of time as she dealt with cancer. The joy, the fear, the grief, the sadness, the profound sadness. And after she passed away, there was a movie made of C.S. Lewis and his life and how he and she dealt with all of this, the anger and denial, the steps that we go through. The movie was called Shadowlands, and there was a very profound statement in this movie. C.S. Lewis was in dialogue with a friend. His name was Harry, and Harry talked about his prayer and how hard he had prayed and knew that his prayers were going to be answered. And out of the movie, this is what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "That is not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all of the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me." And that is the essence of our affirmative prayer. We don't deny the effect. We don't deny cancer. We don't deny the sadness. We don't deny what it is. But what our prayer does is change us. Ernest Holmes. This is one of my favorite quotations of Holmes. I repeat this in so many classes. "If one would take time, once a day at least, to let go of all that is not true and lay hold of reality, let go of doubt, distrust, worry, condemnation, and fear, and lay hold of life in its expressions of beauty and truth, wholeness, his mental congestion would be healed." If we could just once a day step back and release all of that that's out there and lay hold of what's true, our mental congestion can be healed. A man by the name of Stamatis Moraitis, a Greek gentleman. He emigrated to the United States after World War II. Lived in Florida. And stomatitis mellitus in 1976 was diagnosed with cancer. He was short of breath. And he noticed he couldn't climb the stairs as well anymore. And he was in his mid-60s and kind of thought it might be age. But he went ahead and went to the doctors and got it checked out. And they did an x-ray and they found out that he had lung cancer. And they gave him a relatively short period of time to live. He went to 8 other doctors and he had all 9 doctors gave him the same prognosis that he had lung cancer and he was going to die. He thought about going through an aggressive procedure of cancer, fighting things, the chemotherapy and all of the other things. And then he decided, if I'm going to go, I think I'd rather go back to Greece. Even though his grown kids were still in the USA, he decided to go back to Greece. And he went back to the tiny village he came from. And at first, he just laid in bed every day, waiting to die. Sundays, he would get up and very slowly trudge up the hill to the Greek Orthodox Church that his grandfather was a priest, had been a priest in. As the days roll by, his friends from his childhood and his early youth would come and visit him. And they would talk and share stories, and usually over a bottle or two of locally made wine. And one day he felt better. And he got up and he went out into the garden and sat in the sun. And the sun felt so good on his face and the fresh air. So he started doing that every day. And then one day he decided that it'd be good to start a garden. He knew he would never live long enough to harvest what he was planting. But he went ahead and planted a garden. He grew in strength. He started working on the old vineyards that were on the old property, to the place where he was producing 400 gallons of wine a year. He harvested those vegetables and things that he had grown in his garden. He continued to improve. In 2002, he decided that it'd be good to go back to America and visit the doctors to see if they had any explanation as to why his cancer disappeared. He did. He flew back to Florida and he went back looking for those doctors. He didn't find a one. They'd all passed away. And he didn't follow our 5 steps. But in a way, he really did. In his own way, when he went back to Greece, he affirmed his connection with God, with the goddess of his understanding, the Greek Orthodox God. And he recognized his unification with that. And then he set forth in realization his intent to plant those seeds first garden. He set forth his intent to live each day in peace, to live each day to the fullest. And the manifest world then to him was a life of 102 years old. He finally passed away in 2013. I'll leave you with one final story. A journalist by the name of Giles Brandeth was given the opportunity to interview Desmond Tutu when he was basically on his deathbed. It was right before he passed away. He had an advanced case of prostate cancer and was not expected to last long, and he did grant this interview. And it was kind of thought that it might be the last interview that Tutu ever gave. And Giles Brandeth had high hopes, and he thought that maybe he could talk about Tutu's involvement in politics in South Africa and the thing that he had done and how he had done to create a better world in South Africa. But as he arrived for this interview, this is what Desmond Tutu said to him. "If this is to be my last interview, I'm glad that we're not going to talk about politics. Let us talk about prayer and adoration, about faith and hope and forgiveness." So what I invite everybody today is to remember as a takeaway from this time together today is that every thought does become our prayer. And let's forget about the politics. Let's forget about, and let's talk about prayer and adoration, about faith and hope and forgiveness. And so with that in our minds, I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in